been a great weekend for us. So much. The church does so much. I'm so thankful for an active community. On Friday night, our young people had encounter night here, middle school and high school. They had a great time. Pastor Stretch was here with them. He dressed up as me. It was really funny. You have to see pictures. He's crazy. And then yesterday, our kids ministry put on an amazing event. It was awesome. Over 600 people got to experience Candyland yesterday right here. Can we thank God for our kids ministry and amazing people that we have in the church? If you have your Bible, we're going to conclude Romans 12 today. We are inching our way towards the end of our marathon series. We're going to conclude chapter 12, which means we have four chapters left. I think we can do it, get it done before Christmas. That's the goal. If not, we're going to do Romans 16 on Christmas Day, if we have to. But I'm going to try to be brief, which is really hard for a preacher to do, because we want to baptize our friends today. You guys ready to go through the waters this morning? Romans chapter 12, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to go right into verse 14. Romans 12, verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the word of the Lord. Can you say amen?" So I want to talk to you briefly. I'm going to touch on just one point here about overcoming evil. Remember, we are in Romans 12, where the Apostle Paul tells us that because of God's mercy, we now offer our bodies to him as living sacrifices. May we be holy and pleasing to him. That is our way to worship. That we don't want to conform to the ways of the world, but we want to be transformed by renewal of our mind. And in order to do that, we need the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to do these things without the power of the Holy Spirit. These are very challenging things to do when it comes to dealing with people who persecute us or people who we have issues with or they have issues with us. And so I just want to unpack just one key thing this morning with you. That only is possible by the fact that we have a God who is gracious with us. Because at the heart of our faith is forgiveness. At the heart of our faith is a God who longs to have a relationship with us. And to do that, he has to forgive us. He has to make a way for us. It's the greatest need of humans. It's the need of forgiveness. It's the need of grace. It's the need of healing. Jesus came first and foremost to forgive us of our sins. I want to remind you that in Romans, we talked about how without forgiveness, we are all under the wrath of God. We need his forgiveness. We need him to welcome us back into the fold. And that takes redemption. That takes paying a price for that to happen. When Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, pray this way. He said, ask God to forgive your sins as you forgive those who sin against you. If you grew up Catholic, would trespass your offenses, which is who wronged you, who've hurt you, who've betrayed you, who have done things that they shouldn't have done to you. See, forgiveness frees the one who's being forgiven, but also it frees the one who was wronged. And I want to remind you this morning, my friends, and I want to make you aware of what I like to call the poison of the soul. Without forgiveness, your soul could become contaminated. And I want to make it clear to you this morning that you want to be aware of these poisons that can come and infiltrate your soul. Go ahead and put up the poison of the soul. I call this poison because they will kill you softly. They will kill you slowly. The poison of the soul is unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, offenses, unresolved anger, and the need for revenge. My friends, these are all detrimental to your soul. They will kill you. They will hurt you. They will deprive you of a healthy life. They will affect you physically. They will affect you mentally. And then they will affect you spiritually. There are people right now who don't understand. Your body is trying to tell you, get rid of that resentment. Your migraines are trying to tell you, you have bitterness. Your ulcers are trying to tell you, stop trying to take revenge. Your body has a way of speaking to you that there's soul, that your soul is being corrupted by what I call the poison. See, someone put it this way. Someone said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. So my friends, forgiveness is hard work. It's not if, it's when. All of us are going to face these realities of life that will want to poison you, to kill you slowly and softly. And today I want to remind you what it took for us to attain forgiveness and how powerful it is for us to be able to release it to others as well. I want to put up this picture because I want you to meditate for a moment on what it took for God to forgive you, for God to forgive me. This is the price. I think a lot of times in church, we have a tendency to say, Jesus died for our sins, but have you ever stopped to meditate on this reality? This is what it took for God to forgive me, to forgive you. My friends, a lot of times there's this misunderstanding of forgiveness. We equate forgiveness with weakness. There's nothing weak about this. This is not weakness, this is meekness. Meekness is strength under control. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who can have strength under control. This is what it took for God to forgive us. Because you have to understand this, Romans 3:23 told us, none of us are innocent. We all fall short of the glory of God. And God, being just, holy, has to find a way to punish sin. And instead of punishing us, he punishes his son. And his son has to be willing to submit to this process for us to be able to have forgiveness. Do not just gloss over this reality. This week, I would encourage you to sit with this reality and consider what it took for you and I to have salvation. This, my friends, is not weakness. This is strength under control. In this moment, he could have called a legion of angels to come and rescue him. In this moment, he could have taken the wrath of God upon those who have wronged him, and he's choosing to give his life as a ransom for those who would accept his gift of grace and forgiveness. Forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is hard work. Some of the hardest work you will do in life is to release people so that you are not bound by bitterness, anger, and resentment. This is not easy, my friends. It takes more strength to forgive than to hold on to things. This is quiet strength. This is strength under control. Only the Holy Spirit can empower you to do this. Only the Holy Spirit can enable you to let go of things that you have a right to try to hold on to. Remember, on the cross, Jesus was saying these words. In Luke 23, it says this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What's interesting is, if you look up the original, is implying that Jesus kept saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Why? Because some things need continuous repetition until you feel release. Some things are harder to let go than others. People forget that Jesus was 100% human. He felt all of that moment. And in that moment, he's rehearsing forgiveness because he knows, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm doing this for others. And he's releasing you and I over and over again. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Depending on your hurt, depending on your betrayal, you might need to release that person to the Lord over and over again until you feel completely released from anger, bitterness, resentment, and the need for revenge. When you think about those things, remember your Savior on the cross releasing you. Father, forgive them. My friends, in this moment, Jesus was returning emotional fire with spiritual grace. He could have called an army of angels. He chose to intercede for his enemies. He prayed for them. He prayed for us. He blessed his enemies. He blessed us in that moment. I want to remind you, in Romans chapter 5, Paul told us that while we were his enemies, he chose to die for us. That is supernatural grace. God loves us while we were his enemies. I want to tell you something that you're going to have to sit with this week, because this is a tough understanding of grace if you haven't really crossed over from religion to grace. You ready? Here's what I want to say to you, because this is a hard word to understand. When you truly understand the grace of God, you have no right to stay offended. You could be offended, but you have no right to stay offended if you understand that grace has freed you from the offenses against God. See, some things are harder to forgive, so we must have to continuously release it to God, but we cannot hold on to things that God has already released us from. So today, my friends, I want to encourage us with some practical things this morning, because it's not if, it's when. We're all going to be wronged. We're all going to want to hold on to resentment and bitterness. We're all going to want to take revenge. We're all going to want to stay in a place of offense. And I want to just practically tell you this morning, when the grace of God has permeated you, learn to apologize when you are wrong. It takes strength to own your faults, to own your mistakes. Learn to apologize when you were wrong, and also learn to forgive when you've been wronged, because you have been forgiving yourself. That's how we can live at peace. Notice he said, as long as it's up to you, live at peace with everyone. Jesus goes a step further. Jesus says, if you're on your way to church and you know someone has something against you, go and make peace with that person before you come and offer worship to God. Because when you are not offering worship to God with a pure heart, your worship will come back to you empty. Your prayers will come right back to you empty, because he says, I will forgive you as you forgive those who have wronged you. It's one of the times that Jesus puts a prerequisite on forgiveness. He says, yes, I'll release forgiveness to you as you release forgiveness to others. If you don't release forgiveness, you are stomping your own blessings. The question then is, what about the other person? What about the other party? Here's what I want to say to us today, as the Bible teaches us here. Do your part and trust God to deal with those who don't do their part. Do your part, but trust God to deal with those who don't do their part. In other words, he says, when you do that, you are reaping. It's like you're putting burning coals on someone's head. In other words, he's saying you're killing them with kindness. The only time the Bible tells you to kill is with kindness. It's a quiet church this morning. My pastor likes to say it this way. He always taught us this way. He said, listen, when people are being weird, you be nice. He says, you be weird, I'll be nice. You be weird, and I'll be nice. Tell your neighbor, you be weird, I'm going to be nice. Tell your other neighbor, you be weird, but I'm going to be nice. Again, as long as it's up to you, be at peace with everyone. The Apostle Peter, we know Peter because he's from New Bedford. You know Peter, the loudmouth fisherman from New Bedford? Peter was all about revenge. When they came to arrest Jesus, he took out a knife and was like, ah, ah, ah. And Jesus was like, bro, we don't do, that's not how we roll. You know, he's like, I took you out of the hood, but the hood is still. When Peter was reflecting on this, because, you know, he was forgiven. He denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus came to him and extended the grace, the forgiveness that he needed. As he was reflecting on this, he wrote these words in his book. Peter said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. When he suffered, he didn't post on Facebook. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Only God can judge justly. My friends, anytime you take matters into your own hands and you try to take revenge, you become an unjust judge because you are not a just person. And what happens is, when you decide to take matters into your own hands, you're saying, I'm God. And I know how to go about this. My friends, I told you this before, I say it again. If you are in God's court, your lawyer will need a lawyer. Because no one can stand in the presence of a holy, righteous, just God. We need a lawyer. His name is Jesus. So do your part and trust God with those who don't do their part. See, the gospel tells us there's a judge. We can trust them to make things right. Only he can make things right. Our justice is always incomplete because we are sinners in need of mercy. Can you say amen? So today, I want to remind you, your greatest need is the need of a Savior. If you needed a business advisor, he would have sent you a businessman. If you needed a marital counselor, he would have sent you one. He said, your greatest need is a Savior. I'm sending you my son to save you of your sins. See, to forgive us of our sins, to make us right with God, is the greatest desire of Jesus Christ. And that reality then empowers you now to forgive those who sin against you. Because it's not if, it's when. Do not let these poison to corrupt your soul. Release them to the Lord. And we're going to do that right now. Would you bow your heads with me as we reflect on this reality today? I want to encourage you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself. The cross gives you permission to forgive yourself. And then the cross empowers you to forgive others who have wronged you. But it starts with you embracing the gift of grace, of his forgiveness, of his loving kindness. So with every head bowed, eyes closed, it's a time to personally reflect. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I encourage you right now to invite him into your life. Simply say this, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I embrace you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to forgive myself, but also empower me to forgive those who have wronged me. Help me, Lord, to release the poison of the soul. God, I release this resentment, this bitterness, this unresolved anger, this offense. I want to release my desire to take revenge. But even more personal, I want to encourage you right now, release that person by name to the Lord right now. J- Just pray this. Say, Father, I release. Go ahead, fill in the blanks. I release him. I release her. I release that burden that I'm carrying because someone wronged me. Lord, you forgave me, and I want to forgive them. Some of you need to release yourself. Release yourself to the Lord. There's freedom in releasing yourself. Right now, Father, I release myself to you. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry, Lord, for my actions and reactions. I want to live right with you. I want to live in peace and harmony with you. So I release myself unto you. Lord, I pray right now, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We can only do this by your Spirit. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, come, fill us with grace. Fill us with joy. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your peace. God, fill us with your patience. Fill us with your kindness. Fill us, Lord, with the ability to persevere. Fill us with self-control. Lord, we pray, Lord, fill us that we may be meek. Help us to have quiet strength. Help us to not lash out. Help us, Jesus, to live like you, to be like you, or to be like you is the greatest desire of our lives. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to do soul surgery on us, because we don't want to be the same. And we pray, God, meet our friends in this water, Lord. They will never be the same again. May you have your way with each and every one of us. And we pray these things as you taught us to pray. You said, pray this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever, we pray. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. God bless you.